Matthew chapter number 9 tonight. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to read verses 36. And don't leave me when I get to the next chapter. We're going to go right on through. Did you know that whoever sat down and marked the chapters and verses in the Bible were not under inspiration? Did you know that? They are a great help to us so we can all know where we're at. But sometimes, I think this is one of those times, it becomes a little bit of a hindrance. I think you'll see why as we read here. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Now notice verse 5. "These 12 sent Jesus forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We can have our hands tonight the Word of God. Lord, we come tonight. We are needy. Lord, we are people who so often look around us, and we have fears and frustrations and all of these things. But God, you're God tonight, and we pray that our focus might be upon you. We pray that as you speak through your Word to our hearts, oh God, that we would be a people who are abundantly willing to listen to you. Lord, you have said there's power in preaching. I've never understood, but God, you've said it. And so I pray tonight for your empowering, that you might be glorified therein. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated tonight. As we have read in our text tonight, we find that our Lord is moved with great compassion. We find that His compassion, I believe, comes because the people that He is looking at have a tremendous lack of direction being given to them. They have the Pharisees, they have the Sadducees, they have the scribes, they have the lawyers, they have the teachers of the law, and yet we find the Lord Jesus, as He has observed, looks at these people and He says they are like sheep that do not have a shepherd. I do not know what that means to you, but sheep are the kind of an animal that have herding instincts. They are the kind of an animal that looks to something to lead them. My very first experience, you have to forgive, but I have to go back to things I know, but it was when I was a little boy, and my dad, the farm that we lived on, the guy who owned it, had bought a number of sheep. I believe there was around 100, perhaps there was 150 sheep, and so it was a good-sized herd. My dad, in observing them, came to a conclusion that they were always following my pony. My dad had bought me a pony when I was about 6 years of age. And that little pony, well, it was a Shetland pony. By the way, I do not advise any parent to buy their child a Shetland pony unless you're seeking to destroy your child. For that pony almost destroyed me on a few occasions. But one of the things he noticed was that when that pony was in the same pasture with the sheep, they followed that pony. Well, there came a day when the landlord of our place wanted to move the sheep from this farm to his other farm, which was about 3 miles away. And so my daddy said, he said to me, "Gene, I want you to stay out of school." "Yes." "And I want you to ride your pony. And you just ride the pony, and those sheep will follow you, and we'll get them from our farm over to the other farm." And quite frankly, I think my dad was glad to get rid of them and to see the other hired man have to take care of them through the winter. And so on that day, it was a day in September, I remember, I saddled a pony, and we had four or five guys ready, and we took off, and those sheep, they began to follow that pony. I felt like I was in the number one driver's seat, and wherever I would have taken that pony, why, we'd have had 100, 150 sheep going with me. And so off we went. They need a leader. That's just the way sheep are. And here we find that the Lord looks at these people of Israel and He says they're like sheep that have no leadership. There was leadership there, but they were not taking them in the proper places. I stopped and kind of thought about this in light of the coming problems that we are hearing about for our area. And we're hearing all kinds of voices, are we not? I mean, the other night, Jordan comes home from work and he says, "My goodness, people are buying bottled water like crazy because they said that the water supply is polluted." Well, we know that's not true, but yet folks had heard that. By the way, on the news the night before, they said the water is polluted. It has a lot of impurities in it at this particular time, but our waterworks is purifying the water, we hope. Now that rumor's starting again, isn't it? But nonetheless, that's the kind of thing happens. And so we have all these different voices, all these different things. I've heard that the water's going to come over the levees and they're going to break and we're going to be inundated and our church building's going to end up in Missouri somewhere. We've heard those. And some say, well, it's not going to get anywhere. We hear voices. We hear these things. And so we look at it and we wonder, what is the truth? What is taking place in that area? By the way, in that area, we don't know. It's up to God. And what He allows to come our way, what He holds back, and so forth. And, of course, the Corps of Engineers, who are our great buddies in all of this. But nonetheless, we find that there are many voices that are leading in that. And yet there are many voices leading in the realm of religion, if we can use that that kind of term. Most of our pulpits today are filled with men who stand, under the authority of the Word of God. There are many who stand in our pulpits and they lead their people, but they lead them in what I would have to say, in judgment over the Word of God. In some cases, declaring it in error. They would say such things, well, this is not what this really means. Moses was laid in an ark and Pharaoh's daughter found. Well, that's not what it really means. We hear those kinds of things. And there are many pulpits who will do that. There are some who stand near, but in practice they ignore it. There are some who stand upon it, but have weakened voices in fear of retaliation. Retaliation sometimes from their own congregation. Retaliation from those that are in the world. And thus, our congregations, I believe, are very much like what it says here. They are scattered and very weak. And I believe the Lord came and looked at our churches and our peoples who declare to be Christians throughout our land. He would also be moved with compassion. But I want us to notice something here in reference to our Lord. And what He now says to the disciples as a result of this is very, very poignant for you and I. It is something that you and I really need to take notice of and consider tonight. And I want us to go to verse 37, verse 38, and then we'll also be going to the following chapter, verse number 5 tonight. First of all, in reference to our Lord, He states His case. And the case is, the harvest truly is plenteous. How many know tonight that there are literally thousands of people in our city who need to be saved? Amen and amen. We find that it is a tremendous need amongst the people of our city, our state, our nation to be saved. When the Lord looks at this, He brings it into focus by looking at these multitudes of people as great fields of corn, great fields of these ears and of this grain. More than just those ears that can perhaps be counted, but the thousands of kernels that are upon them, innumerable. And He sees the multitudes. He sees this, and it says He has compassion upon them. We find that the undertaking is absolutely beyond the ability of any one man. When we go back to this particular era, they didn't have the machinery we have today. If you were going through the cornfield, you'd have to take an ear at a time. And as my daddy did, you'd grab that ear off there and throw it into the wagon. And the horses or the oxen would be pulling the wagon. And hopefully they weren't running away from you. And one ear at a time, grab that and pull it off. I remember seeing him do that on many occasions. And after a complete day in the field, come back with one wagon load. Today, the machinery takes it by the literally the thousands and the bushels that one man can bring in is astronomical. But we do find that God is trying to show us something with this. The undertaking to reach the world is not possible by you or by me. There must be help. It is a tremendous undertaking that is before us. Not only that, but as the Lord uses this particular context in talking about the harvest, He is talking about, I believe, the value of those souls. A harvest is valuable. It is that which men labor for, that they might have food upon their tables. And so He's telling us here that the souls of men are very valuable. But one of the things, I believe also, as He's talking about this, He sees their danger in being spoiled. The harvest truly is plenteous. There is so much out there, but the possibility of this harvest not being brought in is a great danger. And yet He sees that the masses of people are accessible, that it is possible to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here He states His case. What He does next is teaches us that there is a need for service. There's a need for service. He says, but the labors are few. And what does He say there? Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would what? Send forth laborers into His harvest. God, we know, can work by many. God can work by few. But He has so designed to use you and me. God could have, as He is going to do, I believe, during the tribulation period, angels fly over. I mean, they could carry banners, repent, get saved. And they could carry the Word of God in phrases and bring them through the jungles of Africa and over the continents of South America and North America. But God has not chosen that. God has chosen to use you and I for the purpose of reaching people. And so laborers are needed. This is not asking for men of ease. This is asking for those who will work. Not for those who will stand around and watch. For those who will say, I volunteer so and so. But God is looking for folks who are willing to labor and to labor long and hard for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must go into the fields. It's not a matter of waiting for the field to come to us. It's a matter of going into the fields. It means that that labor must be willing to cut down the corn to get at the seed harvest. The field is going to be leveled by the work that He does. The cutting, by the way, the cutting is done by the sword of the Word of God. And as that flays that down, that we might reap that grain and bring it in. That laborer is one who is willing to take the cutting sword of God and go after the souls of men and then gather them together. It is hard work. As I grew up on the farm and watched my daddy work and see the labor he went through, and see all that took place in doing the chores and getting up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning and going out and feeding the animals and coming back for breakfast. And then during the times of planting, the times of cultivation, harvest, spending hour after hour out in those fields, going back and forth and up and down and hauling the grain in and doing all of those tasks, I learned one thing. Farming is very difficult work. And so when God is using this scenario, He's wanting us to understand that the service that He's calling or asking us to pray for, labors in, is very difficult work. God isn't asking us to do very simple, lightweight tasks. But notice something. He also tells us here how to get the supply of laborers. This be very important for us. And perhaps the crux of the entire message is found in verse number 38. Pray. Pray ye. Asking God for labors. We are to ask Him for the workers that are needed. Do you know that God knows the kind of people that He needs? Do you know that God knows the number of people that He needs? Do you know that God knows the people who have a heart for work? God knows that. And so we pray and we ask God to bring forth those labors, that they would accomplish the job. By the way, He is looking at people who are with Him, who, like the Lord Jesus Christ, evidently have the compassion of God. As he looks out upon these fields that are white in the harvest, he has stated his case. He said there's a need for laborers, and he said, I want you to pray for them. Notice something that he says here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That word send is basically the same word that is talking about when we need to thrust the devil out of our lives. And what God is saying here is that he wants to thrust some into the work of God. Ministers of God must be so compelled by God, they can do nothing else. I remember sitting in Bible college, and one of the first things I heard said was, if you can do anything else, you better do it. We don't want you here. Matter of fact, what they did in the next 3 years I was there was seek to get rid of us. I mean, can you believe that? You would think that when you gather this group of men together that are going to become pastors and go into evangelism and ministerial work, that they would be saying, man, I want to encourage, I want to help you, I want to make sure you stay here. That was not it at all. Because the idea was, if God has called you, God has ingrained something into you, and you're going to do it no matter what. And if we can get rid of you, it's better to do that now than somewhere out in the ministry. And that was the mindset that was there. Real calling, by the way, is not waiting for a congregation to call you, but going out after one. And seeking to get the job accomplished, whatever it might be. And so what we find here, the supply is obtained through praying, asking God to send forth laborers. Now, are you excited? Do you see a work that needs to be done? Do you see souls all around the Council Bluffs that needs one to Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see kids that need to be picked up on a bus and brought into Sunday school and brought into Master's Club? Do you see kids and young folks? Do you see older folks that need the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a great mass of people. Amen? There is a need for laborers. Amen? You understand tonight from the Word of God, the order to get laborers, we must pray for them. Now I want you to notice here how God supplies the shortage of laborers. Notice verse number 5 of chapter number 10. It goes with it. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Isn't that interesting? Here we find that it appears that God tells them to pray for laborers and then made them His laborers. How many times have I heard men begin to pray and ask God to send somebody to do something in a certain country only to take them to that country? How many times have I seen where somebody gets interested in some little kids and seeing them picked up only to find themselves in the bus ministry, the transportation, getting folks to church? How many times does that take place? Over and over again. I say to you tonight, get excited about the souls of men and God will use you too. God wants to use us tonight. God wants to do something through us. You know, when I stand here and I say, hey, folks, we want to have a VBS. There's some children out there we can reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a host of people saying, oh, God, send some laborers for, but God, I'm willing to go myself. Too often, we are saying, God, use somebody else so I can sit back and ease. That, my friend, is not the thing God wants. Those are the folks I believe God is looking at and having compassion on because they're like sheep with no shepherd. They're not finding direction in their life. But He's saying to these, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, He send forth laborers. Get excited about the souls of men. God wants to use you. There are souls of young folks. There are souls of young people. College-age folks. I mean, there are literally hundreds and thousands of people in Council Bluffs, Omaha, our surrounding areas that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? They are in need of hearing the gospel. There are people who need to be drawn not only to Christ, but need to be drawn into relationship with Christ. They know Him as Savior, but they really don't know Him in that relational situation. And there is a need for laborers. Okay? We are too often in the place of volunteering others. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send them forth. And God may want you to be the laborer. Can we honestly pray that God would send forth laborers if we're not willing to do it ourselves? Could we honestly do that? Can we honestly say, God, would You provide somebody to do that and not be willing to do that ourselves? That'd be the case that I'd like to make tonight as we join these two verses together. But all this tonight, do we have the compassion of God? Do we care about those that are around about us? They need Jesus Christ. And we must reach them. I know there are other Christians in town. I know there are other Christians who are seeking to win souls to Christ. But there's not very many. And if we don't do the job don't get done. So there's a job to do. Amen? You say, but preacher, I just like to have a life of ease. Well, you just want to die and go to heaven? Because that's where the ease starts. Okay? I have found that life isn't about ease. It's about doing the work of God. And God has some wonderful work there. I'd like for you to bow your head in prayer tonight. Before we pray tonight, I want to ask you a question, or I want you to ask yourself a question. Am I really doing all that God wants me to do? Am I serving God as I really ought to? Are there some things that I could be doing for Christ? What can I be doing for Him? We often want to shift it off on other folks. But God said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, He send forth laborers. Are you willing to be one of those laborers? There's a job for us. God wants you. God can use you. Lord, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to see there is a tremendous group of people who need You. Lord, there is labor that needs to be done. Oh God, that we would be prayer warriors, seeking You to send forth. But Lord, really, when we're asking that, we're asking for co-laborers. Folks to go with us. Folks to labor alongside of us, because Lord, we can't do the job ourselves. It's too big. Lord, we need those to help us. We teach a Sunday school class. It's so helpful to have somebody at our side. We drive a bus. We need somebody to be there with us to help us. Lord, we need people alongside of us. So Lord, that we might be those who are praying, but those who are also laboring. God, work on our hearts in this. Convict us if we are people of ease and just wanting to let up. God, do that work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name.